No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today I'm interviewing Anything for Views, and this is our first ever time doing a live interview on stream. So this is kind of exciting, man. How you doing?
LA is fucking filthy.
It is disgusting.
It's fucking filthy. Yeah.
But you've been out here for a while, right? Because I met you a few months ago in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I came out originally back in February, I think it was.
And that was your first time in LA?
That was my first time in LA, and that was like during winter, I think it was, when it was nice and cold. It was still cold. And the pollution wasn't so bad, but I get it here. It's like hot. You guys, I just sat through a heat wave. Mm. The pollution, it fucked me up. Yeah. I'm not healthy.
Well, because you're more used to a little bit healthier of a way of life over there in Australia, or what?
Oh, I live in outside of a very small Australian city. So like,
right,
trees and shit, and like all my neighbors are retired.
Really?
So yeah, coming out here, it's like completely mind blowing for me.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's talk about what you do. You're a YouTuber, and your name is Anything for Views, and that is definitely the impression that I get from what I've seen of you on the internet, is that you're pretty much down to do anything for views. Mm. And for anyone watching this, just remember that if you want to donate in the Super Chat, you can like request questions, and I'll ask them. So I guess that's it. And also, you can pay for us to have your song in the queue so that when we're done and when we start streaming again, your song will be up next, so feel free to donate. We only got a couple in the queue. But anyway, okay, so how'd you get started, and what is your overall theme
here? So I've really steered away from YouTube lately. Mm-hmm. I started, I never really started.
Okay.
It happened. So I was friends with another YouTuber named Max Mofo.
Mm-hmm. And how big is he?
He's got like 2.5 mil.
He's huge,
now.
Yeah,
he's big. He's got
and
a
so
lot
he's
of
from your
channels.
Area?
Yeah, he was actually on the other side of the country when I first met him. We met online. And I flew over to visit him in Perth when I was 17, I think it was.
Right.
And then, you know, we met up, ended up just moving near him, basically. And every time he wanted to do something, he was like, you come down, be in it. I was just in their videos, you know?
Right.
I was just that fat token guy that was abused on camera because it was funny.
And how'd you get into that social circle?
I just met Max online through games.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, one day, Diablo just came out. I don't know if you know much about games. But
what year are we talking?
2011 or 2010.
Okay, so back in the day, I played Diablo literally when I first got the internet in like 1998. And I played it like one time on AOL, and I was just like, holy fuck, if I start doing this, I'm going to get so addicted that my life is going to be over.
Oh, yeah, video games have definitely had a negative impact on my life.
Okay, we should
sure.
definitely table that and talk about that too, because that's very interesting to me. Yeah. But I'm really glad I didn't go too hard with the online gaming thing, because this is bad enough in terms of just a time suck. Anyway, so you meet them, and then you're just sort of like down to go through and just do, and sort of what, be like the butt of the joke sometimes, just do some crazy
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, it was just, they'd shoot me a message, because, you know, when I was living in Perth, Max would shoot me a message, and he's like, hey, we're filming this thing, we need you to take your shirt off and you know, be slapped or, you know, set on fire or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I'm down, because I like the attention, you know? And it wasn't
and attention
until,
equals money in the
yeah,
long term.
Yeah, it does. It fucking does. And I didn't realize that.
Also, we just made our angle way better.
Oh, that's
I just moved
good.
The TV more
oh, like,
better.
I'm looking good.
Yeah, you look great. Zelda shirt. I like that.
Yeah, you like it?
Big Zelda fan. Mm.
So, yeah, that it was how it was. And I think it was about 2 years ago is when I kind of got a following, because I started doing videos with other YouTubers, because, like, by association,
mm-hmm.
we knew iDubbbz and Filthy Frank and some other YouTubers.
But all long distance.
Yeah, all long distance. So every time we wanted to film something, like, we'd always talk to each other online, like over Skype and whatnot. And, you know, we'd always shoot the shit, like come up with video ideas, because our demographic was pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Max, one day they were like, yeah, we're just going to fly over to Perth, where we were at the time. We're just going to film a bunch of videos.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it kind of took off for me, because people like, I made a Twitter about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I made all my social media, because I never had anything to begin with. I was just like, who is this guy?
You weren't really in tune with the idea of like self-promotion, and that you were eventually going to have your own channel and everything in the beginning?
I never had any idea like that.
So you were just having a good time. You weren't being like necessarily a self-promoter. Because when I think about that, it's like if some famous YouTuber hit me up tomorrow, like, hey, I want you to be in my video, I'd be like, okay, cool. Like, I'll, you know, it's worth it just for the clout points. You know, like, hey, I'll be in the video. Some people will find out who I am, whatever, sure.
Yeah.
But that wasn't how you were thinking of it. You were just kind of in it for just having a good time.
Yeah, I was just in it just to chill out. And it turned into a job for me. Like, now it's my full-time job. Not so much YouTube, because I've stayed away from YouTube, because the current state of YouTube, but for me at least, it's just fucking, it's horrible.
Same. So were you killing it for a little bit?
I never uploaded. That was the thing. I uploaded like 3 or 4 videos.
Right.
And then just as I uploaded my, not my last video, the video before, is when the adpocalypse happened. Mm-hmm. And everyone was out to get each other. Everyone was fighting. And I was always on Twitch, despite always, you know, doing YouTube videos with Max and the guys, I was always on Twitch. And Twitch is a completely different platform to YouTube.
Different scene.
And I've always loved Twitch because of gaming.
Yeah.
So I was always, for me, when everyone asks, why don't you upload on YouTube anymore? I'm like, I'm a Twitch streamer before I'm a YouTuber.
Right.
I'd rather put my time and effort into Twitch streaming than I would rather than putting it into YouTube videos.
What's your schedule like with streaming and what do you normally do?
I aim for 20 hours a week.
Mm. That's what I've been trying to kind of do, yeah.
That's my goal. So I've been doing that. You know, I've got 500 Twitch subs, and you know, if I'm average about, I think my Social Blade says about average 550 viewers mm-hmm. per Twitch stream. So I do what Ice does. I do the IRL shit.
Yeah. So you just go and take off in your town and kind of do whatever, or what do you do?
My gimmick is just getting fucked up and seeing how long I can last drinking, because I love drinking, and I will go sit at a bar and I will drink myself to fucking death.
Well, that's a very, very Australian thing of you, isn't it?
It's very unhealthy.
Did you grow up in that sort of environment? You see your parents blackout drunk all the time and shit?
Yeah, my mom and dad. My mom's not actually drinking. My mom's a smoker.
Okay.
I mean, no, she's not. It's illegal in Australia.
My smoker, like a weed smoker?
Yeah, like a weed smoker. My dad was a big drinker, but I didn't get drunk for the first time until I was 18.
Okay.
So, but... Yeah, I just like getting drunk now.
But let me ask you this. Like, in America, I feel like if you are a person who goes out and gets drunk a shitload, that it's, like, very common to just think of that person as an alcoholic. Do you think that it's more... That, like, the way your dad drinks is more generally socially accepted in Australia because it's just more of a natural drinking culture?
Yeah, I wouldn't say my dad's like, yeah, it's not a bad thing. Like, okay. My dad's just like... Everyone's just like, oh, it's just Chad's dad. He's just drunk again.
Right.
He's very normal drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But... Over here, you guys have a lot of like nightclubs and like party scenes and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
I completely avoid that. So for me, my drinking is very social. I'll roll up to a pub, I'll talk to some people, I'll say hello to people, and I get to know people. It's really fun. But I come here and like no one wants to fucking talk to you.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not as much of a like. I have a friend from Spain who came over here, and he's in the BMX scene, and he's very used to like the scene out there. Is like, okay, you go ride bikes, you hang out at the skate park, everybody has some beers together, maybe you go out at night and stuff. And he's like, you know, I came here, and everybody is like, I'm asking them if they want to go out, and they're like, no, like I don't want to hang out with you. And it's like, it's so true though. In America, it's like somehow our society has become very like protected, and like, you know, people don't trust other people. It seems it's very hard. People are closed off to making new friends and stuff. I feel like
even on the street, like I'm a very, when I'm walking around, I'm always saying hello to people and talking to them. Like chicks here, on the street, if I'm at home and I point out to a chick and I say hello to her, it's usually a fun interaction, a little bit of a giggle, a laugh, a bit flirtatious. But here, like you say that to it, like you say hi to a girl, she thinks you're trying to rape her or something, and she doesn't want to talk to you. I'm like, I'm just a fat idiot. Come on. Don't look at me like I've killed someone.
And I relate to that too, because like I relate to the girl's perspective, because there are a lot of creepy ass dudes, and I don't know if that's bigger here or if it's like kind of a unique thing to America. I don't know, but there's a lot of fucking weird motherfuckers out here. Like my girlfriend, I see it constantly, because if we're out in public and I like am away from her for 30 seconds or whatever, I will see dudes like swarm around her and just start being super creepy. Like, so I kind of get why girls are so reflexively, you know, they really are triggered by that easily.
I had a date out 3 nights ago. We were just down at Venice having a few drinks. I left her at the bath by herself for like 30 seconds so I could go to the bathroom, and I come back and there's like two guys talking to her, and it wasn't like a comfortable conversation. It was like they pulled up really close to her and they're like getting up in her face.
And
it was really creepy for me. You don't see that shit, especially
in LA,
like
girls, so competitive.
Yeah, girls get heckled on the street here as well. Mm-hmm. Like I don't see that very often.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. And like, I was really warning my girlfriend before she went to Barcelona. I'm like, dude, the dudes there are brutal. They were like fucking harassing on the street. It's pretty bad. She went there, and I guess maybe my perspective was a little bit different as a dude, but she said like, it's way different than being like on Melrose, because on Melrose, as a girl, you'll have dudes like aggressively really try to hit on you. Whereas in Barcelona, it's more just like, oh, hello. You know, they're sort of more respectful about it. It's just like, oh, they just want to say hi to you, that kind of thing. Yeah. Whereas out here, it's like, you have dudes who are almost sort of like professional girl picker-uppers, because there are so many girls out here and they're just so focused on it. And it's kind of creates a weird vibe.
When I see people on the street, I'm like, you guys haven't heard of Tinder? Like, fuck, Tinder is my shit.
Back home?
No, here as well. Yeah. Here it's better.
Okay.
Here, Tinder for me is better.
Back home, I would feel like Tinder would probably be like your only way to get laid, because it's like, what are there? There's bars or nightclubs, but there's not that many people condensed,
I think it's very split. Like, I've picked up girls on stream that I've taken home before, like at bars and stuff like that. But no, I love Tinder.
Yeah, back when I was single, I loved Tinder.
I got Tinder Premium. Like, I just sit down, I'm just constantly swiping on it. I fucking love the shit.
I loved it. But then even like before I got a girlfriend, I felt like I didn't go that hard on Tinder because I just sort of became overwhelmed by it. Because you could go on Twitter, on Tinder, and you could have 10 dates lined up if you spend a couple hours on there. Easy. 10 dates. That's a lot of fucking time and effort. I just don't really like, and I just don't consider it that important, especially since most of these bitches you meet on there are basic as fuck.
Yeah, yeah. They're out for one. The gimmick with girls on Tinder is like, oh, I'm just here to meet friends. I'm like, no, you know, you're here to hook up with guys.
Same but thing is that guys, your experience yeah. that you almost always get laid when you hang out with a girl off Tinder?
Not always. No. I've had some girls that are on there obviously just for like free food, or they've met me and like
free food.
I'll show you my Tinder profile. So like my first picture on Tinder is very.
Yeah, what do you have in your bio?
No sex before marriage is my bio.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's my Tinder profile.
You don't really believe that, right? You remind me of Fat Jew. You're always naked with the fucking beard.
I love being naked. I fucking love being naked.
Really?
Yeah.
It just says Australian retard with a Snorlax over his cock. Out here, you're not even allowed to say retard anymore.
Really?
Well, I mean, a lot of people think it's fucked up.
I get some weird looks. Like, you can't say cunt here either.
Cunt is looked at very differently.
I know. Here. I was sitting in a bar and I
say it too.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? It's just a word.
In Australia, that's like every other word.
In Australia, cunt is a good word.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, you're a good cunt. It's a good cunt. Yeah. Your dad would say that to you, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Out here, it's considered pretty much the most offensive thing you could call a girl, and it isn't really used that much in conversation besides that.
That's when I got like looked at. I was at a bar and I was talking to another girl about another girl. I was like, she was a cunt. I said that. And everyone like at the bar is like,
yeah, that's like pretty much the worst thing you can say about a girl, which is, you know.
I'm like, I mean, I didn't think it was that bad. What are we talking about? We're talking about my ex-girlfriend, and I called her a cunt, but it was like in a friendly way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would say something like that, but I also feel like people like expect me to be very vulgar, whereas like if you're in a work situation or anything professional, it would just be looked at like, oh, what the fuck?
No, that's not work friendly.
Okay, so where were we at? Oh, so you're on Tinder, that's how you meet girls and
stuff? Yeah, that's how I do it. I just broke up with my girlfriend like 6 months ago, like someone I thought I was in love with.
Really? So, like, for how long?
It's really weird because like I'm a big dude, so I take pride in how many girls I get. Mm-hmm. So I'm really open. So if I'm hooking up with a girl, you'll see it on social media or something like that because I like to gloat about it.
I guess I kind of do the same.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, you do the same thing. I've seen the vlog where you're like, yeah, we're just having a three way. I'm like, oh my fucking god.
Hella three ways out here these days. Hey, we got more people in here to watch this too, so I think that's good. We were at 900 before, now we're at almost 1,300.
Yeah,
people are in here to watch this. That's cool.
I'm still relevant, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, 1,200 people is not that many, so it's kind of cool because when I put it out on the YouTube, I think it's not like that many people are going to have already seen it. Okay, so you've been going crazy since you became single?
Yeah, I'd always been with a different girl. I'd never had a relationship for very long.
How old are you?
I'm only 22.
Oh, geez. Yeah, how old are you? Kid. I'm 33.
Fuck. All right. There you go. Big age difference. Woo. So you could probably give me some advice.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But
stay single. Keep fucking.
Keep fucking.
Wear a condom. Don't knock anybody up. That's about it.
I've had thrush twice and chlamydia a few times.
So. Really?
Yeah.
I still never had an STD.
Really? Yeah. Well, I'm sleeping with Tinder girls.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
Yeah. Getting fucked up. Not wearing a rubber. All kinds of stupid shit back in the day. Yeah.
See, I got thrush while wearing a rubber.
What is thrush?
It's a fungal infection. I'm not sure if it comes from girls or how, but it's a rash. It doesn't even hit your dick. It goes in between your thighs. It's like a powdery, fungally rash.
Oh.
And it gets itchy, and you scratch it, and you tear up the skin. You got to rub cream on it. It's a pain in the ass. It takes ages to get rid of.
Wow. You know, I did get scabies once.
What's scabies?
Scabies is this, like, tiny, like, bug that basically, like, lives in your skin. You
like can't crabs?
It's kind of like crabs, but it's like it just lives under your skin. It's your whole body. It's not a sexually transmitted disease, although you can get it from sex. You could get it from like a car seat or just like hugging somebody or whatever. And basically, you start to get all itchy. You can't sleep and shit. And then, like for me, I'm such an idiot, and it just took me so long to figure it out that it was like I had it for like 3 or 4 weeks before I realized I had it. Then you just get this cream. You put it all over your skin for 24 hours. Boom, you're good.
Is that it?
That's it. I was so happy because I thought I had an STD when I got it. So I was like fully ready to have like genital warts or something because I couldn't figure out what this red bump that I got on my dick was. You're like, you could have it for a long time and then you finally will start to get some red bumps. Not necessarily on your dick, but that's where I got one that just freaked me out. I go to Planned Parenthood. She's like, I don't know what that is. I'm like, what the fuck? This is your job to know what this is.
You meant to know what's wrong with me. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Anyway, so how did you... Okay, where were we at?
We're talking about my ex.
Well, let's hear I want to know more about your content and like how you ended up coming out here. And like, I met you hanging out with Andy Milonakis. What was the connection there? How'd you end up in the zone?
So Andy wanted to get an IRL. He's bigger than me on Twitch now because he works so hard for it. He was doing it like day in, day out, constantly.
Does
like
he still go that hard?
Yeah, he still goes hard. But for a meantime, he was doing like 50 hours a week.
Right.
So Andy followed me on Twitter ages ago when I was first streaming, maybe like a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And we just started shooting the shit. We're talking. We became really good friends. And to this day, we're still really good friends. I kind of look up to him, actually.
Yeah.
Me too. Don't tell him I said that.
Oh,
don't
I hope I hear about that. It. Yeah.
So, yeah, we just started shooting the shit. And then he wanted to get into IRL streaming. I showed him with a setup, like, what do I do? And he did the same thing. And, you know, we're IRL streamers now. And then he also knew Keem, okay. So we were like mutual friends for a while. We do a podcast together. We haven't done it in a while. Oh, so yeah, it was just common connections. Like you meet one person on YouTube, you get into a Skype call with someone, you become friends with someone. And that's how I met a lot of people. Like I met you because...
I went to Andy's.
Yeah, we went to Andy's.
I went to meet up with Keem that day too. Yeah, that's the only reason I went there. Yeah.
Yeah, and I met you there. So it's just mutual like meetings.
That Venice YouTuber scene is insane, huh? Like that fucking one apartment building that everybody lives in.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah. That's why I want to move out to LA because now with YouTube, to get into YouTube and to stay relevant in YouTube, it's not about being original and funny. It's about collaborating with people. And a lot of people that are starting YouTube channels now that are blowing up have they haven't just appeared out of nowhere. They're not just people that have been uploading that have just suddenly blown up. They're people that have either been on other platforms, either Twitch, Vine, or whatever, and they've migrated to YouTube. Or it's because they've done something extremely good. They've got a collaboration with someone. They've blown up because of it.
Yeah, it's like you have to focus on your content to a certain extent, but then at the same time, your content could be amazing, and unless you have a way of getting it out there, like you could get a random shout out and say, like, you know, Andy Milonakis' stream, and it's like it's not going to be that big a deal, but if your content is really good and those couple hundred people that go check your channel out, yeah, that is like a very, very big deal. And I see that all the time where, like, I'll do a repost for rappers, like, on the stream, like, if they it's $120 for the record, and they can donate, we'll repost their shit on SoundCloud, and it's like, if their shit sucks, they might get like a couple thousand extra plays or whatever, but it doesn't go anywhere. But if the shit is good, that one repost can send their shit skyrocketing because, you know, it's just the viral effect, I guess.
It's the same with almost any industry at the moment now. And it's kind of, I think it's kind of shitty, but everything's been done. I know that sounds bad to say, but everything has been done. Unless you're original and creative with it anymore, you can't just blow up by yourself.
Yeah.
And the way YouTube works now is it's not really friendly towards promoting new creators anymore. Mm. It's always, you go on the trending page, you go on the homepage. It's
corrupt.
It's garbage. It's people that know people to get on the front page.
Mm-hmm.
Back when YouTube was a fresh thing, it was like, hey, this video did really well considering he's got such a small audience, so we're going to place it on the front page to see how it goes.
Yeah.
That's what our front page used to be. Now it's just like, Jake Paul vlog 76, I'm a piece of shit. Let's check on the front page.
Jake Paul is like the elephant in the room whenever you have a conversation about YouTube because it's just harsh. And it's actually, you know, it's like there's always got to be a scapegoat for it because before Jake Paul, it was Fousey.
Yeah.
Like when you would talk about how fucked up YouTube was and how whack shit was doing so good. I'll take Jake Paul any day over Fousey too.
Yeah.
Personality-wise or like on camera wise. Like Jake Paul's videos are annoying, but Fousey just genuinely seems like a scumbag.
It makes it worse to see how fucking well they're doing and how much money they're making and how like big they're taking off. And it's just
And then all these hardcore channels are just making jack shit all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Like people who are actually doing serious stuff. And I'm not even saying I should be protected, but a lot of people who are doing news, stuff about religion or politics. Mm. Those are people being really affected, which I think is really fucked up. They're doing good quality content that impacts the world positively.
Yeah. And then you just got Jake Paul setting his fucking like pool on fire, 10 million views. And it pisses me off.
Yeah.
And it's really bad to see YouTube rewarding bad creators, I guess, people that don't put good content on the platform.
Yeah,
it's not even their audience will say that either. The audience isn't saying, oh, it's bad content, because the audience is really young. Mm-hmm. I kind of take pride in the way I've weeded out. You've got a very like high like age audience, so your audience will be like 18 plus.
Like my audience expects adult content, which is cool. Like they want to at least sort of be challenged in that regard, which is cool. I like my subscriber base.
But you see all Jake Paul's fans that are just like 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And I'm not much for judging people on camera. Like I've hated people on camera, and I've met them in real life, and they've been really nice.
Yeah.
And for the most part, like people on camera are escalating their personalities for entertainment purposes. But I feel like Jake Paul is like just one of those people that is genuinely just a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And he's making more money than all of us.
There's a lot of little things that peek through that just really kind of show you that. Like in terms of that whole FaZe Banks thing, I'm just going to say, I've met FaZe Banks. I've hung out with him. I'm not in a position to say, like, oh, he's a fucking angel or anything. But, I mean, the idea that he would, in a public Hollywood club, put a girl in a chokehold and drag her across the club. Like, I'm sorry, I just don't believe this.
I think that was just all fake.
It has to be fake. How can it be real?
And the way I think that's fake is if you look back, because now YouTube's becoming Hollywood. If you look back on old news reports and shit like that back in Hollywood, it was the exact same crap.
Yeah.
It was people faking, oh, my boyfriend hit me, or faking, and I'm not saying that, like, it's all fake, but I'm just saying, in Hollywood's perspective, they will take something so small and minor and escalate it to the point where it's like, it's more reported on than like actual like catastrophes.
And I just don't even understand that one. I don't know if the girl who claims she was attacked is crazy, if she's mistaken. All I'm saying is that if the club says that they don't have footage of that, then they don't have footage of that. It didn't happen. Like, until I see footage of it, it didn't happen. Like, clubs like that in Hollywood have footage of everything.
Yeah,
Justin Bieber fucking gets jerked off in the fucking...
They're going to have footage. TMZ.
It's on TMZ.
Yeah, exactly. So if they had the footage, they would release it because it's publicity for them as well.
That's what I'm saying. And not to mention, it's a fucking court case.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I think it's hilarious that Jake Paul can't legally film in his own house and he has to move.
They're moving now, aren't they?
Yeah, they better. Insane.
Yeah, I just fucking hate the whole scene as it is at the moment.
Yeah,
and it's pretty obvious that it's escalated to the point where it either did or didn't happen. I don't think it happened because do you ever hear cases of them like, we filled out a police report, we've taken it to the police, like all these allegations of shit that's happened. I'm like, at what point have you taken this to police? And as well as that, if you publicize shit that happens before reporting it, it can be used against you.
Right.
So obviously, if it's a serious situation and you're an adult, I'm assuming these people are somewhat adult, that's the first thing you do. You go to the police. You just got hit in a club. You call up a police officer and you go, some prick just dragged me across, some 6'5" guy just dragged me across the club, a little girl, and I got a big bruise around my neck. No, I'm going to go on social media and get some followers.
If your first instinct is, hey, let's make a fucking 15-minute YouTube video so we can make like 20 grand or whatever the fuck he makes on a video, I mean, that just kind of says a lot. And I don't know. I mean, it's just such a crazy accusation that it's like, barring any footage of it, I don't think anybody should take it serious. I don't know. Anyway, like...
As well as that, to us, like, looking into this and reading all this, it's like really crazy for us. But for a 12-year-old, like, oh, this shit's real.
Right.
Oh, this is fucking juicy. But for us, we're like, it's fake.
I think that... it's been nice to see everybody sort of rally around FaZe Banks. And it's like, if you have Jake Paul, who's like clearly sort of become this villain, it's like everybody's sort of looking for a hero. And I'm not sure that FaZe Banks necessarily wanted to be a hero, but since it seems like he's been falsely accused, he sort of had to fall into that role. Rice Gum now looks good. Remember when Rice Gum was the villain?
I hate that cunt.
You hate Rice Gum?
I fucking hate him.
Okay. Hold that thought. You talk to the chat. I'm going to go take a piss real quick.
Right.
But you just correspond with the chat for a moment.
All right, cool. There. I'll save the rice gum until you get back.
Okay.
He left me here by myself. Should I play with buttons? What is this? Is this Gucci? What is this? Is this like Gucci underwear? Is that Gucci or Chanel? I'm not too sure. There's like weed here. What's going on? Bunhead, cut the bun off. I have really fucking long hair, bro. You guys don't realize how fucking long my hair is. I have to bun it. It's fucking hot up in here. What's up, Cameron? How you guys going? No, I don't smoke. I 100% do not smoke. Especially out here in LA, like, you know where I'm from, bush weed, you know, it's not that strong, but I come out here, if I have one blunt, I'll be on the floor fucking petting the cat for the next hour. Fuck that. It's hot as shit out here. I don't know how people can like smoke and like walk around, because when I smoke, I get really hot.
All right. Anything interesting happen there in the chat?
I was just, someone's like, why aren't you smoking? I'm like, I just don't fucking smoke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so Rice Gum. Why don't you like Rice Gum?
He's just not funny. He's a piece of shit. I don't know. His diss tracks are crap. It's when I watch someone that comes from, I'm going to claim good content. Like, the shit I've done with people, I didn't necessarily edit it, but I acted and I was in it. I'm used to watching good content. So when I see this unfunny shit, it boils my blood. And he's messaged me on like Twitter and crap, because I take stabs at him at like on Twitter, like jokingly, very jokingly. Like, I do it to my friends. He takes it so seriously. He's like threatening me.
Really?
He's like, oh, I'd fuck you up. I get so many more bitches than you.
Whoa.
And I'm like,
that's weird.
I'd never sit behind a computer and threaten to like beat someone up, you know?
Yeah, if someone talks shit about me, I just don't respond. Or if I do respond, I try to respond in a way that shows that I'm not taking it that serious. As soon as you get mad, and especially getting over to the violent shit, and especially like, you know, coming as a person that has seen a lot of like real violence, it's like the goofy YouTuber beef violence shit is like, as soon as people start saying stuff like, oh, they're going to fight each other and shit, it's like, come the fuck on.
I completely zone out for me when that, like, when people start threatening me, it's like, all right, would, like, do you just want to meet up? Like, off, like, why does it have to be on camera? I had a, I run in with another Twitch streamer ages ago, like a year ago. He was actually very popular. I'll keep the name disclosed, but I met him at a party after he'd been like saying to all his friends and all online he was going to beat me up and crap like that.
Right.
And the first thing this guy does is pulls out his camera. And I'm like, bro, I don't want to fight you. Can you talk to me and tell me what the problem is? And the problem was I made fun of his girlfriend, who was also a Twitch streamer. So I sat him down, I had a normal adult conversation with him, and it blew over. And I feel like if you got a problem with someone, don't sit there and post on Twitter that you want to fight them or fuck them up. Like, if I saw a riot scum tomorrow, I wouldn't walk up and try fight him. If he brought out the camera, I'd be like, you just want to talk? Because what people portray on camera and over social media, I feel like when you meet them in real life, it's a completely different thing.
And that's whack to me. I try to be very consistent. Like, if I tell somebody that I'm going to fight him when I see him on Twitter or some shit, which I can't really imagine doing, but if I did, you know, when I see him, it's like, I want to have that same energy. Like, I'm fucking pulling up. Like, if I...
Didn't you guys have, like, a fight in the studio here not too long ago?
Yeah, we had a little son.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that video. I was like, Keem was talking. I'm like, oh, someone getting fucked up. What's the video? Yeah,
that was funny because it was like the dude who I hit, it was like claiming like, oh, like I got sucker punched, all this bullshit. And I actually respected that Keem came out and like showed the video. It was like, bro, this is not a fucking sucker punch. You know, it's like that shit is corny as fuck. But okay, that's an important name that I feel like we should discuss since you co-host on the Baited podcast, which I'm actually a fan of. I'll probably listen to like at least 10 of the episodes. But you've only been on a few of them, or are you?
I think we've done
12
episodes. 12 now. Okay. 12 in total, yeah.
12 in total, and you've been on all of them?
Oh no, there's like 20. There was the original host, so it was Keem, another guy,
Colossal. I was watching it back then.
And then, I mean, Keem has a fucking ego. I mean, if you've spoken to Keem, he's got an ego. And like, for me, his ego, I can respect it because he's earned it, if that makes sense.
No,
like,
no, I agree, yeah.
He's done some stuff, and why sometimes I don't agree with like some stuff he does at the same time. Like, if he comes out with his big ego, I'll let him wear it because he's earned it. But he had an ego clash with them, and then they broke up, a little breakup. And then he came to me, and he was like, oh, you should do it with me, because at this time, this is when I was really in the YouTube scene.
And Andy at the same time?
He hit up me first, and then he was like, here's a list of other people that I've spoken to, and he like showed me Sky, and I saw Andy. I'm like, you've been talking to Andy? You know Andy? I'm like, we need Andy.
Having Andy on it helped legitimize it a bit, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Andy is a very voice of reason. He's like pretty old too. He's like
and Andy's really not scared to call Keem out on his shit either, which I think is good. Yeah. You kind of need somebody like that to be, because Keem is so aggressive with his opinions. Like, I don't really think he's a bad guy or anything. I just think that when he has an opinion, he expresses it in a way that is so good for YouTube, but is like as a conversation, it's like he's so confrontational and so aggressive.
He'll never admit when he's wrong either, but he will eventually, but you gotta like pry.
He reminds me of myself, where it's like, even if he does admit that he's wrong, or if the details do change, he's like very concerned with letting you know that, maybe I changed my mind, but it was because of new evidence, which I'm exactly the same way. I'm very confrontational. I love to argue, you know, it's like, and that's probably what makes me pretty good at being able to do a podcast, is that like when I have an opinion, usually it's not just a whim, you know, it's like I strongly believe that thing. And that's why Keem is so good at doing the news, is that he's so quick to like take a hard stance on something. Like, he's reporting it, but he's also just entertaining. Whereas if you're wishy-washy when you're doing news type stuff, if you're sort of like halfway there, which, no offense to Scarce is kind of like that. Scarce is like, he never takes an opinion on anything.
Scarce just lacks personality.
See, I like Scarce, but Scarce is hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know. He's a meme. A part of me wants to believe that he's just playing this fucking like dumb character, and he's actually really smart.
I mean, I think he's kind of wise.
Yeah.
Well, like, to me, it's like Keemstar comes out, he makes Drama Alert. It's super fucking popular, but people are watching it. But it's like, if you want to get YouTube news at that point, you didn't really have a choice in who to get it from, because everybody else, you know, in terms of like a big channel. And then Scarce was like the anti-Keemstar, where everybody like, because he's not objectionable.
This is when Keem was taking a lot of shit too. So everyone was like, go hit up Scarce, go hit up Scarce. He's got better news. I think Keem's doing better than Scarce now, actually.
Yeah, I mean, Keem's shit has been blowing up. He seemed like he was over it for a while, especially after the apocalypse
shit. Yeah, he started getting people to host for him. And then
that was a weird era.
Yeah, and then he came. It was a very short era, though, wasn't it?
He had, like, Celestia Vega do an episode.
Yeah, I'm hanging out with her while I'm here.
You trying to fuck?
Oh, hell no.
Why not?
God, no.
What, are you gay?
I'm a very fussy boy, believe it or
so
not.
So she's not hot enough for you. I can't relate.
I don't like the makeup girls.
She's the
and the
tell
fake,
her not to wear any.
The fake boot. Yeah, she doesn't
her tits
look
are
bad.
Real.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, they look fake.
Well, she just pushes them up in photos a lot, to be honest.
Not my kind of girl. I'm into, like, busty, like, all-natural girls. Like, okay. Don't quite know that they're hot, but they're beautiful to me. Kind of. I'm into beautiful girls.
It sounds like you're describing, like, an incredibly intricate and difficult-to-achieve woman.
Hence why I'm single, and I'm still single. Shit.
But you wouldn't fuck Celeste Vega. I can't relate. Me and my girl are trying to have a threesome with her.
Nah, I wouldn't. Because it sounds risky. It sounds like something that would blow up in my face in the future.
Why?
I don't know. What if she comes out and says my dick's small or something like that?
Then you post a dick pic and you say, check this dick out. This dick ain't small. That's what I would do.
I've actually got a dick pic up.
Let's check it out.
Yeah, it's not a very flattering dick. Funny. I got how to basic to post it when we were drunk at the casino. It's flaccid.
I actually feel like that would be hella gay. It's just me, you, and the cat, and you're showing me dick.
No, it was a bunch of us, and I was like, I was drunk, and I get my balls out when I'm drunk for a gag.
Why do you love getting naked so much?
I don't fucking know. This is a funny pic, right?
Do you have like no dick, or is that just how it looks?
I'm a grower, not a shower, and it was a cold night, okay?
You got like an inch of dick there.
Brad can come in and vouch for how big my dick is when it's hard.
He might have to.
Yeah, but what was I saying? Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like something to blow up my face. I'm very picky with girls as well as that. Like,
would you fuck Zoe Berger?
No.
So, why not? Another
thing I just don't find that attractive.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I really don't. I mean, I probably say that, but maybe like after like a few tequila shots and I'm feeling frisky, I probably would.
I would need zero tequila shots. Really?
Maybe I'm just saying it now because I'm on camera. I probably would fuck him.
What? Have you ever had a threesome?
Yeah, once. Didn't like it.
Didn't like it.
It was too much effort.
Two girls?
Yeah, two girls.
Who were they? How'd it happen?
So I was with a girl that I've known online for ages through World of Warcraft. Really fit girl. Nice girl.
Nice girl. That's fine.
And she's bisexual. Uh-huh.
For the record, this is anything for views.
Hello.
For anyone, like the number four. I've seen a bunch of people being like, who is this? So I figured I would remind them.
Completely different demographics. So like people want to know who I am.
Bunch of little jerks, too.
Yeah.
They all got little mini dreads. They got their hair dyed red. It's weird, yeah. What the fuck? Man just showing a picture of his dick. What a guy. Okay, let's get back to it.
All right, threesome. So I knew this girl from World of Warcraft. She was bi. We had a thing for ages, but we lived different times in different areas. So we'd only see each other whenever we went to conventions and stuff like that. And I see her one year. And she's got a girlfriend. Mm. And like our thing is we go to conventions together and we fuck. But she's got a girlfriend. And I was cool with that. Like I didn't really care. Like
that's a dream scenario for me right now.
I went back to our hotel one night. We were all completely sober. And her girlfriend was like, let's just do it.
Mm.
So I get into it. And I'm doing it. And I'm like, this is more work for me than anything.
Why?
Cause I'm doing one girl and I touch the other girl with my hands. Like I've only got two hands.
That's the fun part is that you get to be doing something with your hands. You get to be making out with the other girl, sucking her tits. You're fucking the other girl. You're licking one of those assholes. Me and my girl.
Ass play, not for me.
I always do the move where I'll be fucking my girl doggy style, and then we'll be like both licking the other girl's asshole at the same time and shit.
Really?
Yeah. Super.
Fuck
lit.
That. See, you got 10 years on me. Maybe in 10 years time I'll say
woo,
that.
Woo. Yeah, man. You got to get wild as fuck. Once like me, I'm staring down death, dude. I'm 33. I could die any day now. I'm fucking ready to go. I got to do some weird shit before I die.
Oh, that's crazy. I look up to that. Maybe. I have a gag where I Snapchat my friends whenever I like hook up with a girl, like getting a blowjob or something.
Okay.
Is that weird?
No, I've done that many times in my life with my group chat and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I got like Ian, Max and stuff. I'm like, I'm getting a blowjob and like, I'm just going to Snapchat it to them. Ian, Max, like how to basic. All my friends, they open up a phone. I get a message from them. I'm like, please stop sending us pictures of you getting a blowjob.
Mm.
I'm like, fuck you.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about how video games have had an impact on your life and in particular like a negative impact because I'm very interested in that. I feel like they could have destroyed my whole life at one point.
Oh, yeah. If I didn't realize... Okay, so I'm a big World of Warcraft fan.
Yeah.
So growing up,
when did you get into that?
Oh, like 11, 10 years old. Okay. So very young. When I got my first ever computer, but my parents were very... My parents are like Christian, you know, they sent me to private, like rich white people school. So they're very like, if you don't get straight A's, you're no son of ours kind of person. So I started this game called Warcraft, at the time Warcraft 3. I then moved on to World of Warcraft and I would take days off school because my parents worked very early until late.
But you got super into it from the beginning.
Yes, from the beginning I was hooked. And... my parents would always go to work before I went to school, so it was my job to get myself to school.
Right.
So some days I just wouldn't fucking go to school.
Yeah.
And I'd play World of Warcraft. But I was a straight A student. So
you still held it together?
Yeah, I still held it together, but
impressive.
It wasn't.
I could never have.
But my parents were the kind of people that like called up the school and were like, is my son like doing well? Like kind of thing.
Right.
My mum was like that. I think my dad kind of gave up, actually, but my mum was like that. And then they figured out I wasn't going to school some days. And this is when they sent me to boarding school. I figured out how to play World of Warcraft at boarding school. I bought a laptop. I worked a job to buy a laptop because at that time my mum and dad were like, we're not giving you any fucking money, you know. So I went to boarding school and I started playing at boarding school just from the old 4G sticks because you could get those back then.
Right.
So I was playing World of Warcraft and it never affected my grades, but I'd never go to school. And I think this is kind of where my attitude dipped towards wanting to go to school. I got kicked out of boarding school at 15.
What for?
Just disobeying teachers and shit like that. Actually, the thing that got me kicked out was sneaking to the girls' dorm. That was like the last straw. I got kicked out of boarding school. And then at 16, my parents were like, no more video games, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, fuck this. So I left home just so I could play games. So I went and got a part-time job as a painter.
But were you that... were you just passionately into this game, or were you just actually... Would you say it was a healthy addiction, or was it like a destructive thing, like a heroin habit?
It wasn't affecting me. It would... Because I was young. Like, what the fuck... At that age, what the fuck do I have to do besides like getting my studies right?
But how many hours a day are we talking?
Oh, shit, easy. Like 10 hours, 15 hours a day. But... At that age, I was still a straight A student.
Right.
I wasn't failing classes. The problem was I was like disobeying like my parents and my teachers. Like, you got to go to school. I'm like, why the fuck do I have to go to school? And that was always my argument. I was like, you got to get good grades. I'm like, what's the difference between getting an A and B? And that was like always the argument. It was just me questioning the authority. But it wasn't until I moved out and I needed to start working and paying bills is when I realized I can't be playing this game for 10 hours a day while maintaining a job to pay rent. So I did my apprenticeship. I'm a qualified painter. I got a trade, so I always had a job to fall back on if I needed. In Australia, you don't need to finish school to go to university. You're just going to sit like an entry course.
Right.
So as soon as I moved out to Perth, I started doing university. And now I would say I'm not very much into games as much as I used to. I've tried to sit down and play games and get addicted to them again, even though I probably shouldn't, but I just can't. I think it's safe to say now I've grown out of that addictive personality of playing games. But you know, some days I still sit down, crack a beer, and play games for 10 hours when I get a day off. But,
right.
It was an unhealthy addiction for anyone else if it wasn't me. If it wasn't me, it would have been so much worse. I've seen people like ruin their lives, like 25. I know 25-year-olds that still live with their parents because they play World of Warcraft, and they've never got a career, an education, or even gone out and looked for a job.
Yeah.
And at 25, it starts to get hard because when you go in for a job interview and they're like, what previous work experience you got? Played World of Warcraft for the past 10 years. They're like,
that's scary.
No, but if I walk into a job now, because I've had heaps of jobs, I've been a painter, an accountant, I've worked at a warehouse, I've been had other apprenticeships and stuff like that. I've got YouTube on my resume now as an entertainer. If I walk in to apply for a job, they're like, okay, this cunt's worked this list of jobs his whole life. He's worked a day in his life. It's fine. So I feel like now it's safe for me to, I can go back and play games. I'm a streamer, so I can go play games on stream and make money off of it as well.
See, that's kind of, at least you can feel like you're productive if you're doing it on stream, right? Yeah. A lot of people probably end up streaming because they basically want to facilitate their video game addiction.
A lot of people will sit at home with their two viewers on Twitch going, oh, I'll make a big one day, I'll make a big one day. And they kind of think it justifies for them ruining their life by playing games, but it really doesn't.
I mean, at least you're trying, I guess.
I guess. I'll be famous next week, Mom. And they keep telling their mom. But yeah, video games had a very positive but negative impact on my life.
Right.
I think it socially it helped me.
Right.
Because I was a social outcast, but I didn't really care.
Right.
But until I started communicating and talking with people online, I kind of got the...
It's a scene. It's a community. It's a culture. Yeah, so I think in that way, that was what always drew me to video games was like, I was reading the magazines. I was like, this was before websites really, but I was reading magazines. I was renting games. I just really felt like it helped me to like learn how... Because I got really interested in even like the marketing side, the business side. All of a sudden, I was trying to buy like high-end video game magazines that talked more about the industry side of things and stuff like that. So in that way, it was really good for me. Mm-hmm. But it's also bad because I just have such an addictive personality that it's like, for me, even when I was in like second grade, like my mom, I remember like surprised me after school and rented fucking Mortal Kombat 2. And there was just no such thing as me playing Mortal Kombat 2 for a couple hours and then being like, okay, I'm going to go outside and play baseball or something. It was like, no, I'm playing like...
You're sitting in front of the TV the second I get home, hours.
Yeah, trying to convince you to let me skip school the next day.
I'm so sick. Can I stay home today? That was me every morning.
Exactly.
But
World of Warcraft your only vice, or did you ever get addicted to other video games?
I got addicted to League of Legends for a while. Oh, nice. At one point, I had this weird idea in my head. I'm going to go pro at League of Legends. I'm going to become a pro League of Legends player. And I put so many hours into that game to get good at it. Uh-huh. I finally got to a point where maybe I could probably like play at a competitive level. Mm-hmm. And then I was getting to know people that already compete, like competitive players.
Yeah.
And then I realized how much money they're making. I'm like, fuck, I don't want to do that.
Oh, it's not good.
You know, at the time it wasn't good. I'm not too sure what it is now, but when the esports industry first started up,
right,
that's what it was like. I was like, fuck that. I don't do that anymore.
Interesting. So wait, how much could they stand to make? I thought that it was like a pretty big industry and that the players would do good.
When it first started off, players weren't getting paid that well, but on top of that, they got all that rent paid for them and all that shit. But I just wanted money.
Yeah.
I was just like, I want money and fame.
Have you always been driven by money and fame, you think?
I just wanted to be a pro League of Legends player for some reason because I looked up to like pro players.
Well, if you like playing League of Legends or if you like skateboarding, it's like obvious that you would want to be a professional. That's like the most obvious human urge. Even though like then once you get up close to it, it's like with most of those things you realize like, oh, unless you're a fucking superstar, then this is just the worst thing you
exactly.
could ever
That's
be
how I
with.
Felt. I was like, I gotta play this game for 12 hours for the chance of being good. I was like, nah.
That's the same thing with skateboarding. It's like you go or BMX, whatever. You got to destroy your body for 10 years just to figure out if you can, you know, make 20 grand a month.
I know a lot of skateboarders that have wanted to get into it, but they've just injured themselves from practice and they can't do it anymore. And
it's so dangerous.
Yeah,
you have to be a fucking super prodigy to do good in this shit. You know, that's how I feel. So, how much money have you like managed to make from say Twitch and YouTube and all the shit you got going on?
I make a healthy because I know like a lot of people are very like money driven.
Yeah.
Like give me sponsors. Like just I've never really been about the money.
Right.
I've always been a mediocre person. So I got my 2-bedroom house back in Perth. I got my dog. I got bitches over. I got nice big TV and my good computer. I'm happy with that.
Right.
So for me, once I make my quota, so once I go, I've made my rent this month, I've made a bit extra money to pay for something, I can treat myself here. I kind of lose the drive to kind of like work as hard after that, if that makes sense. So
right.
once I've done my 20 hours that week, even though I've got like 3 more days of the week left from that, I'm like, it's going to take the next 3 days off.
Yeah.
And just do nothing.
That's my problem is that like I streamed like 4 or 5 hours a night on like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Friday. And now it's Saturday, and here I am. I'm like settled in for a fucking 12-hour session just because I have such an addictive personality that once I start doing something, I just get so ridiculously into it.
See, you remind me of Keem because Keem's like, I need to be doing something. I got a call from Keem at like 3 o'clock. I'm like, what the fuck you want? He's like, I need to do some work, man. I need some work. I then do some work. He's like, what should I do? It's 3 o'clock. I'm like, go to fucking sleep.
Make your damn YouTube video
for
the day.
Yeah, yeah. Pull up the camera. Make a drama. He's like, there's no news. I'm like, make news.
Find some news. That's what I'm saying. That's why I think it's good with him doing the podcast and stuff, too, because it sort of gives him a chance to do more personality-driven stuff as opposed to just the news. But then, like, the podcast, how do you feel about the direction that Baited has gone? Because it's kind of, like, had a very, like, current events theme. It's really not that different than... drama.
We don't have a very big take on like because back Baited then was really like egging people on. I feel bad because
you think there was wrongs done on the.
I think it should have stayed the way it was. Clown and Keem.
That was nice.
And now we've got Clown back, and I know Clown's on holiday. Sorry, I got fucking allergies. Clown's on holiday now, so like it's really hard to get him in for a podcast.
Right.
Andy's in Greece. I'm in LA, and Keem's pumping out all this fucking inflated drama from Jake Paul. Like every day, it's like Jake Paul, and I don't blame him. I'm admiring. I'm like everyone's like, oh, just give it a rest. It's just fake inflated drama. I'm like, to Keem, it's money.
Yeah, exactly.
That's 50 mil. Like he's getting like 100K a month ad revenue. Like,
is he?
I don't know, I'm assuming.
Well, he was doing, like, I think when the adpocalypse hit that it totally fucked him in the ass.
Did it? I'm not sure if he's bounced back
but,
from it.
Well, he told me, I hit him up the other day because I just noticed that he was going super hard. Mm. And he was like, yeah, he's like, you know, I'm getting paid again and I'm fucking just doing good with the subs. Like, I could totally understand from his perspective that, like, when the Jake Paul thing is happening, he has to just fully lean into that because it's like his channel lives and dies by the controversy. And if there's a lot of controversy
and
right
his
now,
channel
it's
was
his
dead,
job
was,
to just dive
nothing.
Into it. Yeah. And he
nothing.
Fuels the overall conversation on YouTube too, because if he really like zeroes in on something, like some stuff isn't his choice. Like if he didn't go crazy with the Jake Paul FaZe Banks story, it still would have been a huge story.
Yeah.
But he really like,
He jumped in the middle of it and played dad for a little bit.
And that is what it is to be a successful entertainer in a lot of ways. When I look at Charlamagne and The Breakfast Club and stuff, like they're amazing. I don't know if you've ever watched like rap interviews, but that, you know, Charlamagne does a great job of like if there is a current event conversation going on that he wants to be in the center of it, he wants to have a hot take. And that's like, I feel like I've definitely learned a lot from watching how Keem does his thing.
Yeah.
And like, you know, people can give him shit for being an asshole or whatever, but honestly, being an asshole is kind of part of it. He has to take these harsh stances.
My take on Keem is like, I hate to like him sometimes. Yes, and he recently unfollowed me and blocked me on Twitter. He unblocked me, so it's okay.
Even though you're part of the show.
Yeah, yeah, because I pissed him off.
What did you do?
He posted, I will help you, Houston. I will find a way. And it's like a picture of the floods. And like being me, I was like drunk. I'm like, what are you going to do? Like, go down there, Keem, with a bucket and scoop it out kind of thing. Like, as a joke, he took it really seriously. But like, yeah. And,
you know. Someone in the chat said, I bet he has an axe at home.
Who, me?
They think you're the type that looks like his
oh,
axe.
Oh, we don't have guns.
Like
so yeah,
Thor, or like you're just like a lumberjack, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I thought he was just talking about a weapon. We can't have guns in Australia.
I know. It's so
I've seen three guns since I got here.
Yeah, we got all the guns in here. Yeah.
The first Uber ride here, I pulled up at a street light near Skid Row, and there was two, what do you call Mexican gang members? What do you call them?
Cholos sometimes.
Cholos. Is that racist?
No, but it's kind of like a very specific type of like Mexican gangster, I guess. But I'm not sure exactly what you're saying.
There was two cholos with like big long white button-up shirts and then short shorts.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was just covering their sides, but they had the guts out and all the tattoos. I'm a fucking idiot.
I waved
at them.
In Skid Row, that doesn't go over well.
And it was, thank God the light just turned green as I waved, because he goes like this. He undoes his thing. He's got fucking two guns down his side.
Whoa.
And he goes to reach for it. He didn't take any shots, but still, like, I shit my pants.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Don't wave at people on the street. That's what I learned.
Dude, right down the street, like a couple blocks away, some fucking guy was getting into his car, and another dude fucking pulls up, bow, shoots him 6 times in the head, kills him, and then, like, the whole block was shut down. This is just the other day. And then I'm, like, over here talking to some people, and I realized that, like, it's like, it's just straight LA like gang shit. Because I'm trying to ask like if they know anything about it. They're like, bro. They're like, somebody doesn't get shot 6 times in the head on Melrose unless it's on some fucking
internal politics shit. I get shot like that because I walked up to someone. I was like, guys, like memes? Because that's me. I'm fucking stupid when it comes to like interacting with people. Like, I walked up to the guy at the bar the other day. I'm like, an American. I keep forgetting I'm an American. I'm like, so do you think Bush did 9/11? This guy was ready to beat the shit out of me. I'm like, my cue to leave. Too much to drink. Too much to fucking drink. The cultural difference is just...
Yeah, but it also really depends on where you are, too, because, like, downtown in Skid Row, it's like, I would advise you or anyone else to look at the fucking ground. Don't talk to anybody. Like, there's areas down there that I would never walk through in the middle of the day with a backpack on, like, because I just... And I'm, like, whatever. Like, I'm confident and stuff. I'm a big guy, but it's just around that area, like, crazy shit happens. Around here... We stand outside on the street and fuck with people and make jokes and fuck around with people all the time because it's Melrose. It's just an area that, you know, and you can still get your ass beat around here. Don't get me wrong. But you just kind of learn, like, I don't know, you have to have a feel for the situations out here so you can kind of understand what type of person is what type of person and who you shouldn't say shit to.
Yeah, yeah.
For the most part, you can fuck with white people. They ain't going to do shit.
White people.
Or if they got, but if they got face tattoos, maybe not.
No, don't do that. You got face tattoos, don't you?
Yeah, I'm chill.
You're chill?
You can fuck with me. You can pants me in the street. It's all good. Yeah, man. So who are you a fan of on and what they're doing on YouTube? Who do you watch?
I mean, for me, like content creator wise, shit. Let me pull out my sub box. That's really bad, isn't it? Let's pull out my sub box. Because I'm still a big World of Warcraft nerd, so I subbed a lot of like WoW YouTubers.
Yeah.
But like as far as mainstream goes, I really don't like a lot of mainstream YouTubers. In fact, I really despise a lot of them. So let's have a look. I'm a big fan of Ice Poseidon. I went and did a podcast with him recently, didn't you?
Do you watch that?
I was just hanging out with him the other night. Oh, yeah. I rocked up to his place.
I like that podcast a lot. I think people really enjoy that.
I got Donkey, who's video games. Bobby Burns. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's not that big. He's made a few big videos. What else I got in here? I got Max. There you go. Shit. Like,
I just want to say I started a second channel today. So if you guys want to go follow that, check it out. It's called Adam22. And there's a link to it in my newest vlog that came out today. A little self-promotion. Sorry.
What's the second channel for? Just vlogging?
I just have more content that I'm going to be putting out. So I figured, you know, I want to make like sort of topical videos that are about like a singular idea, like something going on in the news or an opinion I have or something like that. Maybe talk about music, whatever. It's just like I'm trying to make like little like 10-minute videos that are just
like a dumping ground.
Well, just a different type of content, because on this channel I do vlogs and I do podcasts, but then I also want to make sort of like, you know, opinion type pieces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I also want to do excerpts from the stream. Like this, I would just run on the main channel.
Yeah.
But say like we were just not doing a formal interview and we were just kicking it on the stream and we had a good 10-minute conversation. Boom, we throw the 10-minute conversation up and then whatever.
Yeah, a lot of people have second channels for that. Just like I want to upload this, but it doesn't really fit my main content. But I really want to get it out there, so that's what they got second.
There's just so many different. I wish I had a different channel for my vlogs and my podcast. That'd be cool too. Hey, Have you played the new Zelda?
Yeah, yeah, I played the shit. You love it? I played it again on the way here on the plane.
What's your honest review of it? Was it perfect?
It's the best Zelda game I've played
ever.
Yeah, better than the original Ocarina of Time and shit like that. Yeah, I sat down, I played the crap out of that.
Wow,
I love that game. Nintendo's doing really good on games at the moment. So those are the kinds of games now that I'll sit down and play.
Yeah,
because I know once I finish them, because online games are the things you get addicted to. Because once you finish like a league game, you can just jump straight back into another one. Once you finish doing something well, there's always something new to do.
That's why I never wanted to get into like Diablo or World of Warcraft, anything like that, because it just seems like I love playing a game that feels like it has an end point.
Yeah.
Or even like back when I played Tony Hawk 2 for fucking PlayStation for a couple months straight, it was still like, okay, there's this many challenges that I'm completing and then I can be done.
Yeah, yeah. And then you can just kick back after you finished it. Yeah. Know that you finished it. You can talk about the game afterwards. I feel a lot more satisfied when I sit down and actually finish the game rather than, I haven't played online games in like a while, like addictively.
Mm. Yeah, Zelda that's one that I just look at it and I'm like, fuck. Mm. Like if I get that, I could, but how many hours do you think I would realistically have to spend?
For the new one?
For the new one. Maybe 80 like, or 100 get, or something?
Yeah, probably like 100 hours. Yeah. And like you can do it in moderation. You can sometimes like turn, it's one of those games you can kind of like finish a side quest and be like, I'll continue in the morning.
Yeah. I feel like it's also the kind of game that is just very like rewarding from a narrative perspective. And that's kind of what never really did it for me for like first person shooters and stuff. Because I sort of was into video games. Yeah, I was into video games in like the early 90s before the online era kicked in and changed everything. So now when I try to go play like Counter-Strike or whatever, it just doesn't really like, I just miss so many years of video gaming that I just somehow haven't really like been able to catch up.
I feel the same about like gaming franchise that I kind of just disconnected from. And they've got all these new games coming out. I'm like, I go back and I'll play the newest one. I'll be like, it just doesn't feel right.
It's like, do you ever watch The Simpsons?
Yeah, you go back and watch the new episodes and you're
the newer it gets, the more weirder it gets, the more further away. But like, God, there's like 12 seasons or 10 seasons in the beginning that were just so fucking good.
Yeah, yeah. I think they peaked, their peak when it stopped was at season 8.
Okay.
It was kind of went downhill, like for me anyway.
When I was a kid, there was no way to watch it unless you recorded it. So I was just going crazy.
Oh, you were home in time to watch it.
Oh my God. Same with
cartoons like Dragon Ball Z. Like they're making all brand new Dragon Ball Zs.
Right.
And I'm like, I didn't even finish watching the old ones because the only way I'd watch it is I'd come home. I'm not sorry. I wake up every morning at 7 and watch it before I went to school.
Okay.
So it's another thing. Like Dragon Ball Z has all these new episodes out, but I'm not fucking. I haven't gone back and started watching it at all.
You know what's a weird memory I have is like in maybe I think I was in like fifth grade, so like 1995, that they would show Magic the Gathering on ESPN at like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Really?
Yeah, and I had a paper route, and I would have to leave to go deliver newspapers at like 5 in the morning, but the show was on at like 5, and I remember my mom coming down at like 5:55, and I'm still sitting there just staring at watching because I was super
like obsessed. Magic the Gathering, the card game.
It was on ESPN. Really? For little while, yeah, just you know, they figured they would try it out, give it like the worst possible time slot early in the morning.
Wow, that's actually really cool. I had no idea. That's a mind blow.
Weird era. Kids would never understand that now. I mean, number one, it wouldn't be on TV. If it was, they would just set something to record it. It would just be on YouTube. They go
on Netflix or something like that afterwards.
But that's the cool thing is like when you think about content, is that like if you really were like a Magic the Gathering fan, like you could just make a YouTube channel. Like if I was a Magic the Gathering fan, I'm pretty confident that I could make one of the most popular Magic the Gathering YouTube channels if I really wanted to, because I understand a lot about content. I feel like I would understand how to sort of fill some desires. And I say that knowing absolutely nothing about what people do on Magic the Gathering, but it's like, I don't know. It feels like nowadays, if you're into something niche, something weird, it's just so easy to just double down on that thing and create. If you're talented, if you have a voice, you can explode on YouTube. Like, there's not a lot stopping you if you're smart and resilient and you can network.
It just brings back to like originality, and it's really hard to find originality now. But if you find it and you're good at like Ian Idubbbz, he was originality. He was something new. And I met Ian. God, should I be talking about this? Fuck, who cares?
Liza is. I just want to throw that name out there. Liza. All them, they make David Dobrik and all them. They make sort of like really short, action-packed vlogs that are like very intentionally humorous. And I see a very big future in that. I think that's kind
another
of the
person
new
that's
age
kind
of
another Steven Septic at the moment as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Just original crap that pumps up. Ian was one of them because we found Ian. Max found Ian.
What do you think his breakthrough was, or what set him apart?
Ian.
Yeah.
It was definitely the Content Cops.
Yeah.
That's where it all started. We found Ian. Max found Ian. I think he had about like 30,000 subs. The first time I met Ian, he had 50,000 subs.
Right.
And I remember Max telling me, because Max, I claim, but I don't know if you know much about Max.
Not a ton.
Really old school YouTuber, great guy, one of the smartest guys I know.
Right.
Once again, I hope he's not watching this, because I'd hate to hear him.
He probably will. Or at least he'll hear about it. Yeah.
He comes to me and he's like, I'm going to introduce you to this guy, because I had no idea who Ian was. He was flying over from America, and at the time, like, YouTube wasn't even his full time job.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm telling you, man, this guy's going to be bigger than all of us.
About iDubbbz?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And I meet Ian, funniest fucking guy on planet Earth. Like, mm-hmm. in person, like, you go out and have a beer with this guy, it's like 10 guys crowding around Ian, because he's just sitting there, like, just being the funniest guy on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we film a bunch of videos with Ian. We give him a little bit of, like, exposure. The second time around I meet him, I get his face tattooed on my ass. The whole
you were that much of a believer.
Yeah, I got his whole face on my ass. He didn't have that many at the time, but he still was kind of blowing up. And then he started doing the content cops. And Max was like, this is it. This is his moment. And before he uploaded the content cop, we all sat down. We all watched it together. And Max was like, this is it. And I was like, kind of like, okay, like, you don't know that. And then it happened, and I was like, fuck. And that's what it was. The content cop was originality. Like, no one had dissected other people's content to that extent.
And doing sort of the high-end intros and stuff, do you think that really, like, lended something to it? Like, do you think production values is a good way to stand out on YouTube is the overall question?
Yes. You can make the best content on the world, but if your production value is just absolute fucking garbage, you're not going anywhere. Yeah. You're not going anywhere. And I like and I don't like it, because at the same time, while I like watching like higher end production videos, YouTube never started from that. The idea of YouTube was like just you in with a camera. But now, like, 2017, like, you've got a whole fucking studio set up.
Right.
Like, you go back like 10 years ago, and even if there was a podcast on the platform, they would not be doing it with studio setups. They'd be doing it in a room on their phone or something like that.
See, I get a very, like, weird pleasure out of the fact that my vlogs will do, like, 100K plus on them, just because they are just my iPhone, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, nice. So that gives me, like, a very big thrill, because it's like, I feel like if you walk around and carry a camera with a fucking giant ball thing off of it all the time, like, I get it, and I totally respect it, because if you do that, your content probably looks pretty fucking good. For me, it's like, I'm just not willing to make that compromise, especially, like, a lot of the cool shit that I get to do, where I'm sort of like backstage at some rap show or I'm fucking at some party or whatever, if I was holding a big ass camera, it would change the whole dynamic for me so much. So I do it on my phone, and for the most part, I feel like I make the best of it. But yeah, I don't know. I always, back when there was good money in vlogging, that's when it was always in the back of my head, like, oh, I need to, like, carry around the real camera and actually make dope
fuck
stuff
off microphone,
and then all the money fucking pretty much went away, and I was like, you know what, all right,
but I'll just keep doing what I'm doing until yeah.
I'm kind of glad that I suck with it, just because I feel like that's sort of, there's not that many people that do vlogs on the iPhone, you know.
It brings back authenticity back to when people were doing vlogs. Everything was just done on their iPhones, you know.
What do you think of Tana Mongoose?
Oh, dude. Once again, you know, if I ever met her in life, maybe she is a good girl, maybe she is just all a character on camera, but, like, once again, like, I see people like that, and I see how much money they make and how many fans they've got, and I'm like to myself, man, am I getting old and I just hate people like this? I don't like it. I'd never sell myself short and become something I hate for money. And I probably say that now until one day I will have to do it.
But don't you think she's just being herself?
Yeah, probably. Probably is being herself.
That's why
I
think she does so good, is because she is ridiculous. And she's like a very...
It's another classic case of Hollywood making dumb people famous.
But I wouldn't say that she's dumb. I'd say she's actually a fucking very incredibly outgoing, emotional 19-year-old girl.
She's
know?
She's 19?
Yeah, she's super young. She might be 20 now, but she's really young. And I think that to an average 19-year-old girl, if you watch her and you see how much confidence she has and stuff, that, like, it 100% makes sense to me why they love her, because she's just ridiculous.
It's their, like, inspiration.
I look at Keemstar, I'm like, that's kind of like me, but he's, like, 20-30% more of an asshole. So
yeah,
that's why
he's
good at his job.
Yeah. I like to think I'm a pretty big fucking asshole, too.
Yeah. But there's a fine line.
Yeah. There's a line when he's making fun of people, like, dying on Twitter.
That, yeah, he's gone over a lot a few times.
Yeah, he's done a lot of questionable things. Like, what did he do recently? He was talking about it on Twitter. He was saying that, like, a girl can't rape a guy. He was saying that on Twitter. I'm like, I'm sitting there thinking, I mean, like, even if people think that, you wouldn't say it, not in 2017, because you get so much backlash.
For me, it's like, I just don't even want to say anything about politics on Twitter, really, because I just don't want to wade into
that. I tried once.
Like, I'll sit here and have a conversation about politics all damn day, but I'm not really trying to say anything edgy on Twitter, because it's completely removed the context. It's likely enough that someone will just take something I say on here out of context.
And just throw
on Twitter, it's guaranteed to be taken out of context. Mm,
exactly. Know? I remember... ages ago, I was just playing around with a girl and like on Twitter, like just tweeting her, and like she was saying she was underage. Like, it was a complete joke.
Oh god, yeah. Like, if you joke around about that.
Yeah, yeah. It was a complete joke between me and my friend Brad, and like a few people took it seriously, and it got to the point where Keem was like, "Are you asking a 16-year-old for nudes?" I'm like, "Bro, she's 22. It's a gag. We're just saying she looks young." Yeah. But like, people just threw it out of context. Like, "Oh, Chad's asking for nudes from a fan," kind of thing. Once again, not a fan. Just
you
want to
fuck a fan?
I would never fuck a fan.
Why not?
I do not want rape allegations.
Why do you think that they're guaranteed to give you a rape allegation?
It's just in the back of my mind. I see it to so many people, and like, some of it might be true, some of it might just be completely like, all a girl has to say is, and don't throw this out of context, please. All a girl has to do is, or guy, because guys can get raped too. All they have to do is have one bad night of sex. She could say to herself, "I was a bit drunk. I didn't really like the sex. I regret it." Just gonna say rape, and that's all. And as well as that, I'm really picky with girls, so I don't want to be sleeping with a girl knowing that her perception of me is altered by what I am online or who I am online. And I do say to my friends and family when they see videos and stuff like that, they're like, "That was really crazy, Chad." I amp up my personality on camera sometimes for entertainment purposes. I don't fake it, but I will over the top. You know, I will go over the top just for that extra view. You know. Anything for views.
Do you believe in like the future of streaming, I guess is my question.
Oh yeah, I think streaming will be the shit.
Is it the future?
It's the future. I'm kind of hoping it stay with Twitch, but I think like Twitch has a competition with YouTube at the moment,
which I think is amazing. I think they need to be competing with each other, because then it's better for the creator. That's why YouTube itself is able to just treat us like absolute dog shit, is because they don't really have any competition. And that's why I constantly just hope that Facebook or Twitter or whoever the fuck it's going to be
does it better.
And even I hope Twitch, like, I would love to see Twitch with a YouTube style platform for hosting videos. I really think that could be awesome.
They're working on it. They're trying to get that going now.
Yeah, I feel like that.
The thing with Twitch is, it's a completely different community though.
They say the N-word a lot more.
Yeah, yeah. I have a large following on Twitter, but like compared to Twitch, like it's still nothing. I've got like 68,000 followers on Twitch after, like a year solid of streaming full time. But like,
it's pretty solid, 68,000.
Yeah, it's not that.
I'm at a mere 4,000 on Twitch.
Yeah, it's hard to transfer your audience over to that platform. It's very hard.
Yeah.
And now, like, even if I'm under 500 viewers, like on a Twitch stream, I feel shitty because of it, because I haven't been able to transfer my Twitter audience over to Twitch.
How do you feel like you ended up with such a giant Twitter audience? You got
memes,
what, 250K?
Shitposting, memes. Okay. That was all it was.
Just really good at memes, you think?
Well, because I was associated with such big characters like Ian and Filthy Frank and Max, and they've got a very large following compared to me. And I was always like doing tweets with them, and they were doing really like retweeting each other's shit.
Yeah.
And honestly, like my best tweets are me like shit posting. So like all my
define
tweets.
Define shit posting, yeah.
Yeah, shit posting. So like my name Jeff. I'll just tweet that out of nowhere. It'd be
my
like,
name Jeff.
My name Jeff.
So like intentionally sort of making yourself seem like you're handicapped or
something. Yeah, yeah. And it'll blow up. Although if I go there and I start doing this big twit post about some serious topic, it'll get nothing.
Yeah.
It'll get fucking nothing. But like I'll go on Twitter now. And like all my tweets, like I delete tweets unless they get like 2,000 likes. I know this sounds fucking stupid, but I'm not proud of like tweets that don't get that much.
Do you feel the need to keep your Twitter feed sort of
clean,
curated?
Yeah, curated, like pure and shit like that. But like, yeah, my tweets, threw up blood last night, 3.2K likes. Me and my friend hugging, and I was like, TFW when gay marriage is legal. Just dumb shit posting like that. A video of me and Brad holding hands in bed. One saying I dislike faggots, and it's me and Ice Poseidon kissing each other on video. It's dumb shit posting, but that's apparently.
I'm surprised you didn't get like banned for saying I dislike faggots, because I've heard about people getting banned for that lately.
I mean, but I was kissing a guy when I said it.
I mean, that is nice. Yeah, that'll probably help. But like, there's this kid named Baby CEO who's this rapper, and he's like super young. He's like 16. He's always got guns in his videos, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess he got like suspended off Twitter for like calling someone a faggot, which I think is so funny because he's like, like everything he does is like the worst shit ever. Like the idea that that could even compete with it.
I joke about rape on Twitter.
Ugh. Yeah. See, I'm not touching that.
Yeah. No. I feel like I can get away with a lot of things that other people can't get away with.
Yeah, I guess it's different too because, like, to be honest, you're in the YouTube community more so, or like that sort of sphere doesn't have as much of a social justice warrior crowd. Whereas, like, I'm very much in like hip hop, so it's like a lot of people who are in hip hop are on some super like bullshit. Like, they love songs about guns and drugs and blah blah blah. But then there's also a very big contingent in that who are the types of people who get offended by people who joke around about shit, yeah, you know. Yeah. And so you got to sort of be careful, yeah. You know. Yeah.
There are some lines I can't cross. Like, what I started talking about autism.
Yeah.
And I was really like, yeah. Chad, joke about rape all you want, but autism, don't touch it. I'm like,
see, I would joke about autism before I joked about rape.
I think my joke about autism was like, I was making fun of like Facebook moms that like shove a camera in their kid's face. Like, my son's autistic, but he's artistic because he's drawing a picture. And I was like,
I would like to see that. It sounds terrible.
Yeah. And I was like, and I said something about it on Twitter. I'm like, your son isn't special because he's got autism. And I mean, probably shouldn't have said that, but yeah, I said that on Twitter, mean. And everyone was like, Chad, no. I was like, serious? After everything, I'm not allowed to say that?
Yeah. I feel like there's just certain, like, it's the concept of punching down, that if you're a person and in the world's mind, it's like you or me are ostensibly heterosexual white men. And so nobody wants to see a white heterosexual male make fun of a gay guy, make fun of a Muslim woman, make fun of a trans person, make fun of a disabled person. It's just like, it's almost impossible to pull that off because the world just does not want to see someone who they view as privileged.
It's the same with Ian, because Ian's dropping the N-bomb everywhere.
Oh, he's wild for that.
I know, but like at the same time, he's desensitizing the word, but in a way, I'm not saying it's okay, but in a way, it's like,
yeah,
it's kind of putting a dampening on the idea of making that word racist, if that makes sense.
I mean, it's a nice idea, but from my perspective, I feel like the rules about the N-word have gotten even stricter over like the past 10 years. When I first moved to New York, it's like kind of like pre-internet, before everybody's on Twitter, like 10, 12 years ago. I mean, every fucking Asian kid, Hispanic kid, white kid that I knew who was young in that scene. And even I feel like, you know, 7 years ago, 6 years ago, whatever. I mean, I don't know. Now it seems like people are way more militant about like, no, nobody should say that unless they're black.
For Australia, worse. Everyone says it.
Oh, God. Why? No, when you go to England and shit, Asian, it's just so common.
It's because racism isn't a very, we still have racism in Australia, obviously, but it's a very multicultural.
Hey, I want to drop just a message to Lil Guapo Suchio, who donated $4 and said he wants to come smoke afterwards. When I'm done this interview, I'll tell you, and then you can come ask the front desk employee, and maybe we can smoke a blunt real quick.
You guys smoke a lot in here, don't you?
We do smoke a lot of blunts.
Squishy was telling me. Squishy's like, I was in here yesterday, and we're just smoking. I'm like, fuck, everyone in LA is smoking.
You know what I like too, though, is that people like want to come here and want to hang out and want to like have a conversation and shit, so they will basically like bring weed as their way of, it's like their peace offering. Like, hey, look, I can come like, and I'll bring weed. Yeah, fine by me.
I have a similar concept with streaming, because you know you get like a lot of stream snipers if you're an IRL streamer.
Yeah.
People like come up to you and probably be like, hey, can I be on your live stream? My rule is you have to buy me a beer and then fuck off after I've been finished drinking the beer.
Oh, so they have to leave after.
Yeah, so it's not like an awkward like, okay, see you later. It's more of a, oh, you finished a beer. Like, I've had very good interaction with stream snipers.
Yeah.
I had a guy come over to me one night, say, so pleased to meet you, good to meet you, bought me a beer, and was like, I just want to come get a photo and say hi and say I'm a big fan.
That's like, ideal. That's the ideal fan interaction. Yeah. It's like a quick, what I hate, though, is that sometimes I'll end up in a scenario where somebody comes into the back of the store, I'm hanging out with them, we're smoking a blunt, talking for a little bit,
they and then leave.
7 hours later, I realize they're still fucking sitting back there. It's like, Jesus Christ, have a little tact. You know, you could come, like, if I bring you over my house, cool, but like, you know, escort yourself out at a certain point, you know?
Yeah. It's like, I did the exact same thing with Ice, because I didn't really know Ice, and I am a fan of his work, but like, we're in the same industry.
Right.
And I went over to his house for like, and I was like, this is my 30 minute limit, I'm fucking out of here, because I know that, like, this is his house.
Yeah.
This is your house. Mm-hmm. This is where you feel comfortable. You don't want some stranger like lingering around the place for too long. So I think you've got balls letting people come into like where you work and shit like that. Like for me, that's like,
we're
my
very
house.
Very protective of our environment back here. If like it's weird because if someone comes up to the front of the store, we're super nice to them. If somebody comes around back, we automatically feel ambushed and we're just super aggressive and we're like, no, get the fuck out of here.
I noticed that when I showed up, I was like, Chad, and he's like, who? I'm like, Chad, and I'm like, fuck, probably doesn't know my first name. Like, anything for views? And he's like, all right, I'll go check. And he's comes out here. I'm like,
you gotta do a little test there. Yeah. The other day, I had a dude try to like run up in here and like act crazy and shit. It was pretty weird. A little bit of a tense standoff. I didn't have my gun anywhere near me either, so I felt weird.
You guys got a gun here?
We got a whole bunch of guns in here.
Can I? You serious? Can I see one? Are you allowed to play guns on the stream?
I don't think so. I don't know. Actually, the other day, Ice was telling us that we are allowed to, but I've heard about a ton of channels getting demonetized for guns. So yeah, I feel guns. Like if I got demonetized, or if it's not even, like, on here, I got age-restricted because we had beers out. We had a whole bunch of PBRs on the table.
Really?
And we got age-restricted, and that made it so that the Super Chat stopped working, so we couldn't take any donations. Yeah.
I feel like just, like, the wrong YouTube employee has to come in and just be like, I'm not a big fan of what they're doing.
And you know what it was? It was right as we were hanging out with Ice, too. As soon as Ice got here, then we had the beers, and obviously his fans are the types who want to just report motherfuckers and shit. So.
Yeah. He's got a very horrible fan base, I had to say that. I take pride in how well I weeded out all the bad shit out of my community, my Twitch stream, because it was like that.
Wait, you block a lot of people and stuff? Do you have mods?
No, I just don't take the shit, so... Mm. When I'm going drinking and people want to call up the pub, and I'm like, I'm just going to end the stream if you guys call up the pub and get me in trouble. I'm just trying to sit here, drink, shoot the shit, talk to you guys on Twitch.
But they want to do that. They want to have an effect. They want to fucking shut you down.
For me, shutting down is not a big thing. For me, I'm like, you're lost. And my Twitch community, if they find out who it is, they'll fucking lynch them.
Really?
And that's the thing. So if someone ruins it for someone, and someone did, a kid, 16-year-old, sitting out in front of the pub calling it, and they saw his face on my stream because he came on my stream, found his Facebook, called his mum. Wow. Said, your son's sitting out the front of a pub. Here's the address. Can you please go pick him up? So he kept calling the pub, and I went out. I left the stream. I went out. I spoke to him. I said, go away. This isn't funny. He's like, there's nothing you can do about it. And I was like, you're a fucking horrible kid.
He said that? There's nothing you can do about it? Yeah. Actually, I could smash this fucking beer mug over your head right now, you little prick.
Yep. So I went back inside. I was like, I'm turning the stream off, guys. I turned the stream off. I sat at the pub. I was apologizing to the bartenders. Kid was still at the front waiting for me to come out.
Mm-hmm.
But his mum pulled up. His mum comes in and goes, sorry about my son. Blah, 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 blah. He'll be punished. Asked me a few questions. Sat down with me at the bar while I was drinking. Mm-hmm. Had a conversation with me. And then left. Never heard from the kid again.
Yeah.
Thank fucking God.
So many little tough guys online. I hate that shit.
Yeah. But, you know, I like to think my community is pretty good with everything.
So when you wake up in the morning at this point in your life, and yes, this is me sort of winding it down because we're about an hour and 20 minutes in or something. Mm. When you wake up in the morning, what motivates you? What do you think? What do you say I want to fucking do with this day?
I wake up in the morning, and like, streaming is just a routine for me now. I'm like to myself, I'm going to stream today, but I'll sit down at my computer. I'll go through Reddit, my emails and crap like that. I'll sit down and go, what can I do today that's kind of like not going to be boring? That's a bit different than yesterday. And it's a bit hard because I live in such a small city and there's not a lot to do. So when I come out here, there's a lot more content to do and there's a lot more people to hang out with and shit like that. So today I woke up and, you know, my boy Squishy's in town. So I was like, today I'm just going to take a day off. But then at the same time, Squishy was like, we're just down the road from Adam's studio. And I was shooting the shit with you in DMs earlier. I was like, and Squishy was like, just hit him up. And I hit you up. And you're like, yeah, I'm in the studio. So
yeah,
I head down.
This is ideal too, because normally when I do an interview, I feel the need to like, really like go fucking watch a shitload of their videos and stuff, and like I'm familiar with your content, but it's just been kind of cool to do on the sort of spur of the moment, so I don't put that like sort of onus on myself of like, oh, I need to be like mega familiar with all their content. Cool to just do like a laid back one.
We just been just talking about normal life stuff as well, so it's nice.
And all the YouTubers that we have either loving crushes on or that we dislike, you know, I love that.
What YouTubers?
Tana Mojo.
Oh, I fucking hate Tana. Wait, we're talking about Tana? Oh, God.
You wouldn't fuck her?
Lyncher. Would I fuck her? Lyncher. See, makeup's really, like, sketchy for me because I've slept with chicks and seen them without makeup. I'm like,
I love that. I love a chick with too much makeup on.
It's good with makeup on?
Actually, to be honest, my girlfriend doesn't wear that much makeup.
No, I know.
It doesn't really bother me.
Lena is very natural, isn't she?
Yeah, she don't wear a lot. Yeah. She's actually done photo shoots where they put a ton on her, and she like will just come back to the fucking, like, and meet me here and just be like, I look like a fucking idiot. I feel like an anime character. I feel so stupid because, like, if you're not used to wearing a ton of makeup, it feels really weird. But man, I mean, honestly, like the contouring and all the shit that girls can do, the contouring is the craziest thing because they basically lighten so many areas of their face that
they
it completely
shape it.
It changes the way that it looks like their face is shaped. Shit's crazy.
And when you're in a dark bar and you're like 12 beers deep,
you forget all about that.
I've made that mistake. I picked up a girl on live stream that I thought was like the hottest looking chick in the world.
Yeah.
And I wake up in the morning, she's wiped her makeup off. I'm like, are you gonna leave anytime soon?
That can be rough.
And then I'm like a gentleman, so I feel bad. So I even invited her back over like two more times. I didn't have sex with her, but I invited her over two more times. And I was like, I was just doing it like to tell myself that I'm not a bad one night stand kind of guy.
Right.
Even though that's basically what I did.
Yeah, I mean, one night stand is always a good time, but I feel like I just sort of owe it to myself to maintain some sort of level of conversation, just because it just feels weird to just completely be done with them just after fucking them once.
It makes you feel like a bad person, doesn't it?
Just makes you feel weird. Like share that. I mean, although sometimes it's quite obvious that the terms of the sexual encounter are very, very like casual, and she doesn't really expect anything from you.
The thing with her was she was like, I just broke up with my boyfriend. You're the second guy I've slept with. I'm like,
what's this?
These four said they paid you.
Is it fire? On some shit weed? Nice. Hey, tell them that we're almost on the interview, but then I'm going to have them come back after. Okay, cool.
On some shit weed. That's the name of your store.
I don't know. Maybe the weed clinic was selling weed named after the store and we don't even know about it. I feel like I should be making money off that.
Copyright claim, dude.
That's what I'm saying.
YouTube all over again.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to those kids. Isn't that crazy to think that they just came here and sat outside and watched the live stream because they want to come back here and smoke and hang out?
That's
I think it's going to be tight, though, because I'm going to be able to have like just some random fans on, smoke, let them sort of hang out, you know, whatever. That's cool. I have to take a piss so fucking bad again. I've just been drinking so much water all day because, you know, I went to the pool for like an hour and a half with my girl earlier and you just sweat so much and it makes me paranoid. Like, it makes me dehydrated and then I also just makes me paranoid about getting dehydrated. So I just start chugging water.
I'm the kind of guy that will sit down and have like a very large amount of water and do a big piss and then I won't have to drink water for a little while.
I just keep drinking. I love a big piss.
Yeah, you love a big piss?
Don't you think it feels kind of better to pee than to come?
Don't tell me you've got some sort of pee fetish.
No, not like that. I don't being peed on or anything, but I just love
that. Have
you
tried it?
Not really. I love the feeling of just building up a fucking 2-3 hour pressure piss. You're in traffic for an hour and a half. You get out.
That's like the worst feeling for me.
You hate it? I love it.
Fuck no. Maybe when I'm drunk and I've been like holding a piss at the bar to break the seal.
A thunderous current emerges from my urethra.
Oh my God.
Ooh, I love that, man.
My fucking God. What a treat.
All right. What do the people need to know about you before we wrap up this here interview?
Let's read the chat. A lot of them would be about other YouTubers I've been
with. Okay. Yeah. Talk to the chat for a second and I'm going to go. I'll take this.
I'm good with the chat. I'm from Twitch. I'm good with the chat. Hey, what's going on? Show us your dick. Hey, yeah, I get him banned straight away off YouTube. I'm sure that'd end well. Pressure pissing is the best. No, it's not. What are you talking about? So questions. What do you got for me? Where's this interview going? Dude, we've been doing this for like an hour and a half. We're wrapping it up, man. I'm enjoying LA, but I can't deal with the pollution and the people. It's fucked up. It's actually fucked up. How many internet chicks? Like I said, I don't fuck fans, man. Don't fuck fans. Questions. That's for him. No, I'm not smoking. Yeah, see? Fuck you guys.
Ha!
Yeah, fuck you guys.
How was it?
They just asked me questions about other YouTubers I work with because I'm not relevant anymore.
That's how you feel? Or that's how they feel?
I have a very big, like, if you want to ask them questions, go ask them directly. Because I'm like the little brother of the group. So, like, whenever, like, I'm like, you know how the girls go up to the little brothers in school and go, is your brother single? That's fucking me.
Okay.
With them. But it's all right. I get over it.
That's cool. You feel like you've yet to emerge as your own fully fleshed out, like, online entity that you're still kind of working on?
Well, now that I finished studying and I've got my bachelor's and shit like that, it's like now I can kind of start uploading on YouTube and I can kind of make it a job if I don't want to go work in an office for 10 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm aiming for now that I finish uni. I'm going to do this for as long as I can. And then once I've ruined my life and like my online persona has kind of taken a hold of me and I'm no longer employable, I'll open up a business or something with the money I've made from it. Because you got a shop, so that's like your fallback if West comes to West, right?
That's what's cool is that, you know, I got the bread and butter, and then I do like crazy 12-hour streaming marathons.
Mine's my clothing line.
Yeah,
well,
you made that shirt?
This design wasn't done by me.
Copyright infringement.
I bought in shares to the company that started sponsoring me. Verycoolshirts.com with a Z.
Verycoolshirts.com.
Yeah, okay. Verycoolshirts.com. Use code VIEWS at the checkout. You get 10%
Actually,
off.
I'm impressed because when I saw this shirt, I was like, oh, that shirt is probably one of those weird digitally printed shirts that they print on that terrible material.
No, it's cotton polyester.
Yeah. That is cool.
It's pretty.
I'm surprised. These. I haven't seen a shirt that, I don't know how the fuck they print on a shirt like that
Chinese.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
It's all done in China. So for me is...
collab.
I want to come out with a bunch of designs and keep it going so that way... Because like when you've got an online entity, you can push it. So you see like YouTubers start like clothing line, like Ethan and Hiller are starting their fucking, what's it called, teddy bear.
Is that what it's called?
I don't fucking know. It's like children's clothing for adults kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like the YouTube demonetization thing was actually a very big thing, a very big opportunity for me in a way, because up until that point, you know, at a certain point, I was making like 40 grand a month on fucking YouTube because I was putting out so much content. Yeah. I was doing good. I could look forward to putting out a vlog and making $1,000 on a vlog. And that had me so motivated to not do anything except make vlogs, make podcasts. And then the fucking apocalypse hit, all the stuff that I had been putting off, like, oh, I want to start doing merch, you know, case in point, nojumper.com. I want to do streaming, I want to do, you know, all this other stuff, like touring and stuff. All of a sudden I was like, okay, fuck, I have to actually like chase after all those opportunities, and those kind of opportunities are more,
I gotta hit up those brand deals, I gotta like, exactly, like, for me, when that's, I got like more brand long deals.
Form, you know, it doesn't necessarily pay off the first month, but maybe by month 3, 4, 5 you start doing good, really,
yeah. For me it was like I'm not gonna really ever like pursue a brand or like plug something, but now the money's like so bad and it's so tight from YouTube, because I was going to do YouTube after I finished uni, but because ad apocalypse was so bad, I'm like, I'm going to do Twitch and I'm going to do sponsorships. And so like every now and then I'll get paid for a tweet or an Instagram post for like a mobile app.
Yeah.
And it's a bit sellouty, but I mean, at the end of the day, I get paid. And I hate it when people go, oh, it's sellouty. I'm like, no, it's called trying to pay rent.
Yeah.
And you it's don't have to buy the just product. If you don't like it, don't get it. If you're smart enough to know that it's not a good product and you don't like it, then don't get it.
Shut your mouth. Watch and learn. Just accept that I'm doing a stupid advertisement. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to pay rent. Yeah, fuck just off.
Leave me the fuck alone.
Fuck that's all off, say. Exactly.
Yeah, that's one thing I feel lucky with my audience is that I feel like they are pretty accepting of me just sort of being a person who wants to make money, who's trying to better himself. And they've sort of seen it a lot over the past couple of years, so they are sort of involved and engaged in their own right, you know? So I feel like I like my audience. And when I do a stupid mobile game out, I don't feel like that they're too pissed off, you know?
Yeah,
they kind of get it.
Exactly. Well, Keem's pumping out his own games now.
I'm in that new one. You are too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He put me in there without asking me.
Oh, I applied. I sent him an email saying, hey, let me get in
there. He's like, can you be in my new game? And I was like, I never really got back to him. And then he was like, and then he like tweeted out a picture of my face. I'm like, looks like I'm in his new game.
You know what hurt me in my heart, though? He goes, oh, there's, 40 dudes in this game, and only 4 of them don't have a million subscribers. I'm like, God damn it, that's me. I'm one of them.
That's me. That's me, one of them, too. It'll be me, you, Andy.
Oh, Andy, yeah.
And then who else? I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
Ow, that hurts. So why did you tell me that?
Yeah, no, it hurts. So I'm right there at, like, 800K. God damn it, Keem. Give me a couple months, man.
Is Lena at a mil yet?
She's right under it.
Right under it?
Yeah.
Was she doing sex tape at 1 mil or news at 1 mil?
Sex tape, but I don't know. It's weird because we've already made all these like Snapchat little porno tapes that have.
Flick that off.
What was that?
The clip that was on the back. I was just playing with it. It's about to hold the cord.
Whoops. Yeah, I'll get it after. But yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll maybe do something else that's kind of cool. Like some of the brands I work with don't want me to fuck her on Snapchat anymore. So I guess that's something that I'm probably going to have to deal with at some point. I don't know.
You gotta be a good boy. You gotta be brand friendly. I'm completely unbrand friendly now. So I've just.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
I don't know. There's just certain things brands care about, I guess.
Mm.
I don't know. Anyway, so anything we should know before we wrap this up?
I'm going to try and move out to LA. That's all I got to add. Nice. As much as it sucks air pollution-wise and like people-wise, but like you got to be here.
Land of opportunity.
The land of opportunity is America.
Hey, when you're 35, you can move back to the homeland and fucking rot away and sit on the porch and smoke a corn cob pipe and complain about the Aborigines people or whatever you guys do out there.
We're not hillbillies. Come on.
Do you fuck with Aborigines people or what?
No.
Australia's so racist.
No, it's not a racist thing. It's a cultural difference. Okay.
Okay. So you don't get along with them, though.
I mean, I just never. I mean, I got Aboriginal friends. I've just never like. I don't know.
They're dickheads.
No, it's not that. I don't fucking know. I just don't have any Aboriginal friends, I guess. Okay. I'm not racist.
I know it's a heated issue for the Australian community. I'm always interested. I watch a bunch of documentaries about how fucked up you guys are with them and shit. Yeah.
I can see old Dan talk about it, but fuck, we'd be here for another hour. We don't into that. Politics, I'm not touching politics. It's not my thing.
Oh, that's good. Anyway, so guys, this has been No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world with anything for views. This is our first ever live streamed episode. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to meet up with some kids who want to say hi real quick. And then we're going to come back here, get back on live stream. You guys stay here. I'm going to play a music video. But to everybody who just watched this podcast live, I should probably be able to say podcast at this point. Yeah. Thank you very much. No Jumper. Coolest podcast in the world.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, my pleasure, man.
Appreciate it, bro.
YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Go check out Anything for Views.